Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
And I'm Andy Murray from What Culture. And coming up today, we've got a big, big update on WWE's third-party content ban, including some rather pointed and emotional words from Paige, who says, and I quote, "I cannot deal with this company anymore." On top of that, I'm going to tell you all about a brand new Vince McMahon documentary series being produced by WWE and Netflix.
Plus, Matt Riddle isn't going to be called Matt Riddle anymore, and the attacker at Halloween Havoc,
there it is,
has been revealed. This is the news.
Right, so we're going to dive in to the third-party content ban. You've all heard about this by now. WWE taking control of their performers, Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, Cameo, various other platforms, saying you can't do this under your ring name, writing into other people's contracts that they might have to do some streaming for them and they'll take a chunk of the revenue, and a portion of the revenue will go to the wrestlers, but as part of their downside, so it won't actually be more money. It's a whole deal. We've spoken about it extensively, but it's coming into play now. It's the end of the month. This is the deadline. WWE are taking control of people's accounts and shutting them down. We know this because AJ Styles was on his Discord yesterday saying that his Twitch and Mixer channels were closing. As in his words, WWE is making some changes that involve streaming. Mia Yim tweeted to similar effect. We also heard from Cesaro, Aleister Black, Zelina Vega. A lot of people who are affected by this commenting on it. But it was Paige who delivered the most passionate response. She's been outspoken about this whole deal throughout all of this, and understandably so. The most passionate response by far of anyone talking about this. And I've got some quotes here. She says that she cannot deal with WWE anymore. There's a lot to get through here, so bear with us. Here's what she said. "I've honestly got to the point where I cannot deal with this company anymore. So now I have to make a very important decision. I'm tired, man. I broke my neck twice for this company. Overworked. I broke my neck twice for this company, and they don't even realize that this community isn't just about subs. It isn't about that. We built a wonderful community, a wonderful family, where this is an escape for a lot of people, including myself." Now, she continued her understandably emotional address by talking about how much Twitch and the community she'd built there meant to her, the ability to interact with her fans. "I can't wrestle anymore. I was worked so hard in WWE that I can't wrestle anymore. My neck is effed. My whole dream got taken away from me, and I had to have something that fulfilled even a small part of that huge void that I lost in wrestling. A huge void. I couldn't wrestle anymore. Something I lived, breathed, and I'd lived and breathed since I was a fetus, and it got ripped away from me, and I had to find something that even filled a little bit of that. Twitch was such a wonderful thing for me." She added that she could understand WWE perhaps making this move for full-time televised performers who can wrestle every day, in her words. However, she was injured. She suffered those serious injuries. Of course, she doesn't have that luxury, and she needed Twitch to, in her words, keep her sane. This was her escape from the everyday drudgery of just sitting around at home, really. And she also went on going into detail on how WWE handled, you know, things like her private content that was leaked and the failed drug test, which she the two failed drug tests that she attributed to being in the relationship with Alberto Del Rio. She said that Twitch was the only thing she could do. "People think I should be thankful that I still have a job, and I am, but that doesn't mean I should be treated like shit." There's more even here, and this is all important stuff, so I'm going to keep reading. Paige is still considering unionization. We covered this story a few weeks ago. She's spoken to a lawyer about it and added the following. This is bigger than Twitch. It's about taking control of your own life and not being controlled by anyone. I gave 10 years. I poured my heart and soul into this. I had a couple of bad years like everyone has. I'm not the only one who is controversial around here. I'm not the only one. It's louder when it comes to me because I'm a female. I hate using that because I'm a woman, but it's because I'm a woman and women don't usually stand up for themselves. Those are her exact words here. She said that she's going to continue streaming and just see how this situation plays out, promising to keep speaking her mind over the next few days. So I think if you have a shred of empathy within you, it's impossible not to feel sorry for Paige here. Think of all the misfortune that has misfallen this poor person over the past few years. She obviously had her in-ring career ended with the horrendous injuries. She got moved on to SmackDown as a general manager, and she was good in the role, but then that was just kind of yanked away from her after a few months. She's obviously done WWE backstage and so forth. She comes in every now and then for the odd guest appearance, but her dream was torn away from her. And then she finds this platform, Twitch, where she can build a community and interact directly with her fans and, you know, find another source of revenue now that she can't compete and so forth. And just find a sense of purpose and so forth, going by her words here. And now that is being taken away as well. I think she's in a really unfortunate situation. I don't know how anyone with a heart could look at this and go, well, just be thankful you have... No, man, that because WWE is paying a certain amount of your bills doesn't give them the right to treat you like dirt. The independent contractor situation, it's something that desperately needs to be resolved, and I hope desperately that Paige is able to enforce the positive change that she wants to bring to this world, because this sucks.
Yeah, there's not a lot I need to add to that, really, Andy, but it's heartbreaking when you see those clips of Paige talking about all this. Like you say, everything that the company have given her, she has smashed out of the park. And it's outrageous that the company is getting away with doing this, particularly for someone like Paige, as you said, who doesn't have anything else, not necessarily to distract her, but to do. Like, this is what she has thrown her heart and soul into and has, you know, made a career out of subsequent to her wrestling career, being ended prematurely, as you said. But then, like you mentioned, AJ Styles, Mia Yim, the list goes on and on and on. The fact that they can contort these deals so that it's no longer just like something fun you can do outside of work and maybe earn a little bit of extra revenue whilst there's an ongoing global bastard going on. Now it's something that they can take ownership of and inexplicably use to counterbalance your downside guarantee. I think it's incredible that they've been allowed to get away with something like this. You know, we've talked for years, everyone has, about unionization, and maybe, fingers crossed, this will be the thing that changes everything, but like you say, with the power WWE has, I sincerely doubt it. I just hope WWE now has just got that enough money to carry on for the next few months, because they really are struggling. Anyway, let's move on and talk about Matt Riddle. In fact, Andy, you know what? As Chad Gable once said, let's shorten that up. Riddle. He's going to be called Riddle. Yep. PW Insider reporting that, and if you check on the website now, he is just Riddle. Now, to be fair to Matt Riddle, he tweeted he actually prefers, well, he's been called Riddle for a long time previously. It's his real last name, but he's basically suffering the same fate as the likes of Rusev, Cesaro, Andrade, Murphy. I mean, it's like they give you back Chad Gable and then they go, now I need to take something to put this on the fence.
Balance this out.
Now, Fightful Select also reporting Vince McMahon behind the change, of course, because he wants to be this to be part of a more serious character presentation going forward. I mean, maybe if he hadn't botched his move to the main roster, you wouldn't have had to do that, but what a load of bollocks this is, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable that WWE really thinks their audience is incapable of remembering the word Matt. One syllable, four letters. Anyway, let's talk about this new Netflix documentary series on Vince McMahon. This was confirmed yesterday during WWE's latest earnings call. The Q3 2020 financials are out. WWE's doing very well. This is already the most profitable year in company history, and it's not even finished yet. So it's a good job they released all those wrestlers, isn't it? Jesus Christ. But yeah, the documentary series, it's referred to as a groundbreaking deal by Chief Revenue Officer Nick Can, no relation to Tony. It's going to be directed by Chris Smith, who is the guy behind the Netflix Fyre Festival documentary, which is great. On top of that, it's going to be Bill Simmons of The Ringer is going to be a co-producer. He was involved in the Andre the Giant documentary recently. There's no word on when production will commence or anything or when it will air, but Vince McMahon is one of the most interesting men in the world. He's 75 years old. There's probably enough material here for 7 documentary series. I mean, there's loads of ground to cover. My only hope is that we get a balanced documentary. But given that this is being produced in conjunction with WWE Studios, there's probably going to be a bit of spin on it, and that would be disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. I think you don't want a nice puff piece on Vince McMahon if it's being produced by the guy behind the Fyre Fest documentary, which is sensational. I watched it again the other day. You want, you know, that mask to slip a little bit and to be like, really is a little bit bonkers. Sometimes he makes people get rid of their first names for no real reason. He has all these rules that he lives by that everyone else has to live by, that are just a bit weird, and he doesn't know what a burrito is. I'm fascinated by this. I certainly will be watching it. But like you say, the worry is because it's being produced in conjunction with WWE Studios, he is going to be presented as the savior of wrestling, when we really know he's just a mad old bastard. Anyway, let's finish up today by talking about the attacker at Halloween Havoc.
Okay.
You're going to miss this. we have a report from Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, kind of telling us what we already assumed, that being that the attacker is probably going to be revealed as Indy Hartwell, who's already had association with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae in the past, of course. Johnny Gargano asking who she was until he found out that she'd sent him a telly, and then thought, I've always liked that Indy Hartwell, you know. an interesting wrinkle to all this is Meltzer reporting that Hartwell may well have been revealed on Wednesday night, or just in and around what had happened at the show that NXT put on. I can't be asked to do that again. But she is not necessarily suffering, but related to the issues regarding the ongoing Global Bastard that have affected the Performance Center recently. So it wasn't her actually in the Scream Ghostface costume thing on Wednesday night, but it's probably just going to be revealed as her. It's going to be revealed at a later date, as Meltzer reports. But I think this makes the most sense, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it's in line with current storylines and so forth. Indy Hartwell apparently must have been at that weird Performance Center in-house live event where this outbreak happened and so forth. The people who were there were told to stay away for 14 days, self-quarantine for 14 days. No indication that she's tested positive, of course, but that is almost certainly the case there. Looking forward to the reveal. It's a fun storyline.
Yeah, and you know, everything that Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae is doing right now is just brilliant in NXT, so make sure you go and check that out. Especially if you haven't seen it yet, go and watch the NXT show from this week. Let's move on to your Twitter questions now. 3 Twitter questions, 3 in the words of Andy Murray, chonk doggles. Today comes from Kevin L on Twitter. He tweets, at What Culture WWE. With Pete Dunne returning and AEW advertising all the recent debuts for Full Gear, do you think we're about to see the bastard return for a feud with Kingston? Also, Basta. Liddy says hello. First of all, Liddy, good dog. What do you reckon? Pac coming back soon?
I really hope so. I miss him. I love Pac. He's one of my favourites. Just, there aren't many people in pro wrestling who radiate pure grumpiness like Pac. And, you know, we live in the same city as him, so maybe we could chase him up. Hey, Pac, you're hanging out at the one pub in Newcastle up on Tyne. Pac strikes me as the kind of guy who moves to the beat of his own drum. We saw that with him pulling out of the Hangman Page match and so forth when he was Dragon Gate champion and all that. So I think he will make his own decision and not be as beholden to what the company wants, perhaps, than some people would be as much as he can. However, I think, you know, I just love to see it happen. There's no way I can give like an informed yes, I think it'll happen, because we don't know with the travel situation and so forth. But I would love to see it, and I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I love Pac. I think he'd make a great surprise return whenever they decide to pull the trigger, and whenever that's obviously possible. And I still remember one of the first weeks I moved up here to Newcastle to work for What Culture, going on a night out, walking through town with one of the guys and going, oh, that bloke from behind really looks like Neville. Oh wait, that is Neville. So there you go. Second question today comes from HogHunter828. Again, good dog. The tweet says, this is Cupcake. Good dog, Cupcake. She's got a question. Good girl. If Wardlow does away with MJF, does he become a babyface or does he hang out in tweener territory? We've only seen him as a heel, but I think he could pull a face.
Yeah, I think he's going to break out as a babyface. It feels like they're trending in that direction. They're doing the really overbearing, controlling boss thing with MJF. I'm your employer, so that means if you win the world title, I am the world champion. It's good stuff. It's really well played. MJF is the perfect guy to turn babyface on. Wardlow's going to have a lot of support behind him if they keep playing this as well as they have done. And I really hope crowds are back for that turn, man, because yes. Wardlow yeeting MJF off the stage would get the biggest pop, and I would love to see it.
Exactly. Me and the Dudley Boys talking about this yesterday in comparisons to obviously like Ted DiBiase and Virgil's turn, for example. It'd blow the roof off the place. Yeah. And yeah, he doesn't need to be a tweener. He can be a babyface. If only there was some sort of podcast talking all about Wardlow's potential in AEW that's coming out this weekend. What cool dressing, wherever you get your podcast from. Just a thought. Final question today comes from Edward Shiraz Hands, who says, Penny Legend. Says hello. First of all, Penny, good dog. And says, g'day, gents. I'm not going to continue.
Don't
like
do that.
No, I'm not.
No,
any
out.
Chance they combine the NWA women's title with the AEW women's title could be a good way to go, or at least make things interesting. But I know one title I'm more interested in right now, Andy.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely something going on here with AEW and the NWA. We spoke a bit about this yesterday, because the focus they gave to Serena Deeb in her little promo and stuff on Dynamite this week was very interesting. I'm going to try and ask Tony Khan about this on the media call ahead of Full Gear, unless something else comes up. So hopefully we'll have more answers by then. But I don't think they'll combine the belts. I don't think they will. They're separate organizations. Billy Corgan won one of Roway's women's title, something they've worked hard to build the prestige of, particularly throughout Thunder Rosa's reign as champion, which was very good. I think maybe they'll just do Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb on AEW television and build to that match, because it would technically be the rubber match between the two of them. More collaboration, but not a combination. I should be a rapper.
Yes, very good. And inexplicable, I'm going, Nyla Rose, you want a match of Full Gear? Right, there you go, that's the AEW women's title. Well, they've booked that horribly recently.
It's not been great.
They need to sort that out. Yeah. But yeah, I like them having the NWA Women's Championship. And once again, congratulations to Serena Deeb, who is awesome. Let's move on to today's and finally. And if you are following wrestling online on the likes of Reddit, you may well have seen that Peter Avalon, no, Brandon Cutler, because they're always bloody in each other's circles, was trending yesterday because of him using his D&D dice as part of stuff that he's done in AEW. I love this because Brandon tweeted about it and subsequently got responded by Evil Uno. This tweet, Andy. Evil Uno will slam a man on Beyblades next. Evil Uno can be the bridge between both, because he's talking about Brandon Cutler, that is, being the bridge between D&D and wrestling, which I am 100% a part of. Andy, do you reckon we could see other classic, I don't want to say toys, that belittles it a bit, but things from our childhood, like someone slamming someone on a yo-yo or someone getting a pog and pointing it in someone's eye, perhaps?
I think we are only a few degrees away from seeing a Warhammer 40k match playing out on television. It's going to be Adam Cleary's Space Marines. I think he's Space Marines against Jules Gill's Chaos or something. I used to play this game when I was a kid. I'm not shooting on 40k. It's a ridiculously deep, rich game, and particularly in terms of the lore and so forth. But yeah, it's going to be Orcs versus Eldar, if they're still a thing. Evil Uno versus Brandon Cutler. 400 dice, bolters, Tyranids, let's do it. I'm a nerd. I've just outed myself. I don't care. I cover wrestling for a living. Of course I'm a nerd.
I'm going to shoot on Warhammer. I remember the first time I found out about it, bought it and went, wait, you have to glue it together and paint it yourself. I'm not doing this bollocks.
That's the appeal.
Yeah, I know. I really was clueless. So let us know in the comments what would be the worst thing like that to get slammed on. Obviously, Lego is the worst, but what would be like the second worst? And I'll read some of the best ones out on Monday. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, SmackDown Preview and Wrestling Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz coming later. And maybe even a Wardlow podcast over the weekend. Let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And watch the F followed by the words. You can follow Andy Murray at...
at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Heckin' Chonk Doggos, which I always say.
Follow me at what I started. Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. But for now, my thanks to Danny Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.